have your Bibles with you this morning, I would love for you to turn with me to the book of 1 John. Little John, we like to call it. Little John. 1 John. 1 John, 4th chapter. Going to read a couple of verses. And as you very well know, we've been doing a series, Reasons for the Resurrection. Reasons for the Resurrection. This is the last of this series. And Pastor Ron taught on relationships. Preached on relationships. Then Pastor Kevin coming behind him preached on worry and insecurities. And my task this morning is to bring you a word about forgiveness. Relationship, worry and insecurities, and then forgiveness. So in the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter, the 7th and the 8th verse says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." In preparation for this message, I began to think about forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And I don't believe that we can really enter into a true mode of forgiveness until we learn how to love. We've got to know how to love. And then we're going to have to move to another area of life called acceptance. And then we can begin to forgive. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. You know, we've been taught that all we have to do is just ask God to forgive us, and that's it. But we're going to have to make a journey before we can really, in a sincere heart, ask God to forgive us. You're going to have to do some things that you've not been able to do and you've not done before. You're going to have to, and I truly believe that we're living in an era, in a time that we're going to have to love like we've never loved before. Now, I'm not talking about these sermons you've heard preach and the studies that you made about the three types of love, eros, philos, and agape. We understand that kind of thing. We know that I don't want to go into all of that this morning, but we're talking about a different kind of love. We're talking about loving one another as Christ has loved the church. We're talking about loving as God loved, not the same agape love, but loving as God loved. But we're living in a time that we're going to have to love like we've never loved before. We're going to have to accept things that we've never been able to accept before. We're living in a new generation. And listen, you guys think it's tough for you. Think about if you were my age. I mean, we're having to accept things as nearly a 70-year-old. I'll be 69 next Saturday. You know, we're having to accept things that we never thought we'd have to accept before. Things are different. Listen, who would have ever thought? I mean, when I was coming up and first went into ministry, I just bought volumes after volumes of biblical encyclopedias and all of these study things that you would need to. I mean, shelves full of them. Now all you need is an iPhone. And there's more on that iPhone than I had in my entire library. I mean, things are different for us. I was sharing with someone not long ago. I mean, I learned how to type on a Smith Corona. I mean, it didn't even have a plug. I mean, it didn't have a cord on it. It was not even electric. I mean, things have changed so very much. So that means as things and times have changed, I've had to change with them. Things are different now. We're having to accept things. We've got a thing of what the church needs to be, and we get into this mold, and we've got to recognize that there's some things that we're going to have to accept that we've never accepted before. The Bible says that you cannot know God without loving others. Verse 9 says that this is the way God manifested His love for us. He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him, that we might live through Him. Verse 10 says that this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent his son for us. Romans 5 and 8 says that God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet in sin, he died for us. That's the way God demonstrated his love. When we were yet in, it amazes me that he didn't wait till we got everything together before he started loving us. Isn't it amazing how different the church is today? We want everybody to come walking in the door and just walk into a spirit of perfection. Come walking right out of the world, right out of the slop of the world, and expect them to walk in church and be perfect. We've lost the meaning of what God has called the church to do. We've gotten to the place to where we're not loving people as they are. We're loving them the way that we want them to be, the way that we think they should be. And if they're not the way we want them to be or the way we think they should be, then we try to change them to make them that way. God didn't wait until we didn't have any problems. God didn't wait till we had everything together. He loved you so much that he allowed his Holy Spirit to begin to move in your heart and change you. He allowed his Spirit to change you. How many of you know that you can't change someone? You can't even change yourself, much less someone else. Only God can change people. You know, I've read this book many, many times, and I've not read one time where God said the church was supposed to change people. He said we're supposed to love them. He said the most important command that God gave us was we're to love one another. We're to love. Love is mentioned 690, almost 700 times in the Bible. Almost 700 times he talks about love. He doesn't talk about changing people near as much as he talks about love. We're to love people. God's going to do the changing. I would that sometimes we would just stop trying to do God things and let God do God things, and we just do human things, and then we put our human things together with what God is doing, then God's going to bring about a change in the church and a change in the atmosphere that is going to surprise everyone. We sing this little chorus about, Lord, come fill this place. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Fill the atmosphere. Listen, we want to fill the atmosphere. Let's just fill it with love. You want to see things happen and things change? Let's just fill it with love. Instead of backbiting and talking about people, if we would just infiltrate this place with love, God will minister to us powerfully. And not only will he minister to it, he will allow us to be ministers for him. You know, we talk about God and his graciousness and how that he loved us. No greater love has the world ever known than the love God give us? You know, I have a lot of friends I have a few friends in this world. I have a lot of acquaintances in this world. But it would be difficult to find one that would go and give their life for me. Especially if I had done harm to them. It would be hard for me to find one that nowhere do we find that we're going to change. Nowhere do we find that we can do God things in the Bible. We just got to start loving everyone that God sends our way. Everyone that we meet, we just got to begin to love them. And if we'll love them, then God will change them. We don't have to change them. We need to let God change them. I believe that we're living in a time that we're going to just have to love one another and let God do the changing in the church. You know, it's easy to love someone that loves you. Yeah, it's kind of like my granddaughter, you know, they talk about how happy she is when she's with us. Well, why shouldn't she be? I mean, whatever she wants, we give her. Wherever she wants to go, we go. Nobody argues. Whatever she does, oh, it's okay, baby. It's all right. I'll clean it up. Don't worry, baby. Oh, I know. It's only 40 years old, but we'll try to find one somewhere else. It's all right. You broke it. I mean, how could you not be happy living like that? And we kind of do God the same way. And he loves us even more than that. Oh, I mean, we go around having broken life experiences. We go around doing this, doing that, doing the other. God, and we go to him. We say, Lord, just please forgive me. Lord, I won't ever do that again. He said, I know you're lying, but I'm going to forgive you anyway. I know you're lying, but I'm going to forgive you because I love you just that much. I love you. I know that you failed, and I know that you're going to fail again. But I'm going to tell you, no matter how many times you fail and how many things you do wrong, you will never build to that place that my love doesn't cover it. I believe God just wants us to just love one another and know that He is God and He loves us regardless of what we've done. What's this? In Matthew 5:44, Jesus said something that is powerful to me. He said, love your enemies. Look at somebody and say, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Had an old friend one time used to have a saying. He said, you know, it's hard to kiss the lips of the fellow that cussed you all day. You know, but you gotta realize that when we begin to talk about loving, Jesus made this command: love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despise you or despitefully use you. Pray for them. Pray for them. Listen, we're talking about getting out of the natural realm. I know most of you people are good people and wonderful people, but I'm going to tell you, those people that curse you, you're not going to have a whole lot to do with them. Those people that despitefully use you, that despise you, it's hard to pray for them. We just got to recognize that we're in a different place when we're talking about doing what this book tells us to do. You know what? If we will do, Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. When we start doing what this book tells us to do, then it will cause us to do the unnatural. It'll cause us to do things that it's not natural for us to do. It'll cause us to be more than what we thought that we could do. When we just start doing what this book tells, it will cause you to love your enemy. It's not natural to love your enemy. That's just not a natural thing. It's not natural to do good to them that hate you or to bless them that curse you. That's not a natural thing. And I believe that we're living in a natural world, but we have a supernatural God. And I believe we need to move to another level in that supernatural God, that the natural things of this world doesn't overcome the supernatural things of this world. I don't know about you, but I'm just tired of being ordinary. I'm just really tired of being ordinary. I can't be somebody else, but I can be me. I can be me better than anybody can be me. And I'm tired of just being the ordinary me. I want to be the extraordinary me. I want to do more than I thought I really could do. Listen, that doesn't mean I've got to change. It doesn't mean that I got to be different than what I am. I'm just me, and that's all I'll ever be. I lost some weight, and Susan and I were talking. I said, I need to go get some more clothes, and so I took off to get a pair of jeans, and I took Gatlin with me. He don't shop pennies. He shops buckles. He shops in those. He said, come on, Pastor, let's go. I don't have any business in buckles. I'm almost 70 years. Those people don't have nothing there for me. We go, and guess what? I buy a pair of buckle jeans. Amen. Guess what I'm wearing today? Not buckles. Oh, no, sir. Let me tell you, wear what I always wear. You know why? I walked out of that store. I got in my truck, and I'm thinking, now, here I have let someone one-third my age influence me on what I am to wear. What was I thinking? What was I thinking? Watch this, church. Listen, I'm telling you, we got to be us, but we can't be nobody else. But you can be an extraordinary you. You can be something that you've had to accept things. You've had to do things here in recent years you've never had to do. But I'm here to tell you, God is going to bless you. If you will just do what this book tells you to do, you will move out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. And the power of God will be able to move through you, and His Spirit will influence you. And not Gatling. I love you, buddy. What's this? See, it's easy to love them that love you. The Bible says it's when you love them that hate you that you move to another level in God. Is anybody can love them that, that Jesus goes on to say that you've really done nothing when you just love them that love you. Everybody does that, Jesus said, even the publicans. It's easy to just love people that love you, but when you get to loving people that don't love you, oh, listen, we've got to move to that level that we can love everyone that God puts in our path, not just here in church. I'm not talking about church meetings. I'm talking about daily life. I'm talking about daily life. I'm talking about we just need to love those people that God has put into our life. And I believe that once we begin to do that, God will move. We will become so extraordinary in our living and the things that we do. We got to take this love thing further than we've ever taken it before. 1 Peter 4:8 says something that's powerful. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. Oh, I don't know. I just kind of feel like in my spirit, we just need to begin to accept people and love people. Just love them. Just love them. You know, and I'm around Austin, some of the guys every week, and Ron and William, we'll all meet together. And you know what's amazing to me? I know they don't like me just because I'm old. I know they don't like me just because they're around just to remind me of what I forgot to say in the middle of a sentence. You know they love me because of me. It's me they love. Listen, let me tell you something. We just got to move to another level in God. We got to begin to love everybody that God puts in our sight, everybody that he puts in our way. No one comes into your path by coincidence or accident. God placed them there. I don't know about you, but I wish that the church would begin to look at things differently instead of running around waiting for God to slam somebody in their face and knock them in the head and say, you need to minister to those people, that we hit the streets every morning saying, God, who can I minister to this morning? Just please put somebody in my life. I need somebody I can tell about the love of Jesus. I need somebody that I can just release some of this. We're always wanting to release some of this stuff off of us. Let me tell you about releasing the love of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing. We instead of spewing out venom, we need to just spew out love, the love of Jesus Christ. Listen, the love covers a multitude of sin. And if you allow your love to cover a multitude of sins, then God's going to allow that same thing over your life. We got to watch what we do because it will move from just being a good Christian to a judgmental old something or another. Just become judgmental. And you know, the Bible is very, very stern about judge not lest you be judged in the very same manner. Listen, when you start talking about people, you just remember, it's going to come home to you. It'll come home every time. We just need to recognize that we got to put away the judgmental atmosphere that we have. And everybody is not like you, and everybody don't respond like you. And you just got to realize some things you're going to have to accept. We're going to have to accept things that we've never accepted before. This is what I want to talk to you about for just a minute. How many of you know that everybody wants to feel accepted? And let me tell you, if you don't make them feel accepted, they will go where they do feel accepted. That's the reason the bar rooms and the crack houses are so full. People feel accepted. I know this is not going to fit well with some people, but it's a fact. I mean, I've pastored some churches I'd rather be in a bar room than there. You know, I mean, we've got to just recognize that, you know, people want to feel accepted. I know I'm not perfect. I know I do things wrong, but I'm not the only one. So do you, and I want to accept you, and I want you to accept me. I just want us to feel accepted toward one another. Listen. You know, when you're not accepted, you feel like an outcast. You feel like a misfit. Wouldn't you say when you don't feel accepted, you feel like an outcast or a misfit, which may or may not be a good thing. actually, being a misfit could be a good thing. I mean, you've got to recognize that you're not like everybody else, and it could be good that you're not like everyone else. So listen, although all through this book, we find that God used the outcast. God used the outcast and the misfits all through this book. Throughout this book, he used them. For Samuel 22, 1 and 2, God used misfits to build an army. And David used that army of misfits to take the victory. In Matthew 9 and 10, it says that Jesus ate with tax collectors and with sinners who were the outcasts of the church. He shared water with an adulteress. She was an outcast to society. He touched the lepers. They were outcasts. He accepted them. He accepted those people that the church and society did not want to accept. I think that God is bringing up a 21st century church that is willing to get out of the box and accept the people that are different. I believe that. And hear me. I don't want us to ever water down the gospel. I don't want us to ever bring something into our midst that would harm us. But we're going to have to start accepting some things that we've never accepted in the past. We're going to have to accept some things that minister the love of God to them. All right, you ready for this? Somebody said Pastor Charles is preaching, so buckle up. Watch this. Watch this. We're going to have to start accepting homosexuality. We don't have to start doing it, or we don't have to participate in it, but we're going to have to accept that's where they are. Let's love them, bring them in, and let God change them. Let's just show them love. Let's show someone that takes that preference love and let God change. You can't change them. I can't change. They can't even change themselves, but God can change them. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to minister to the outcast and the misfit, and the only way that he's going to be able to do it is get them in a place that they feel accepted. We're going to either accept them here, let them feel accepted and let them feel the love of God and let God change them, or send them somewhere else. And I'm not talking about to another church. I'm talking about to the world. Y'all got too quiet on me. I'm going to still preach on it. It doesn't matter. You know, I just feel that we got to have to accept some of this stuff that we've been, we've been shunning. We've been sticking our nose up at it and saying this is not what God wants, so therefore I'm not going to have a part in it, but let me tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to love them. I'm going to pray for them. I promise you, if I ever, I'm going to call their name before God, and I'm going to believe God's going to bring a change in their life. Now listen, church, hear me. We're not going to water down this gospel, as I said earlier. We don't want to bring unholiness into the church. We don't want that to infiltrate the body of Christ. But if we love them and we accept them the way they are and let God go to work on them, God will make the changes. He will make them what he wants them to be, not what you and I want them to be. Does that make sense? How many of you know that when Jesus met Andrew and Andrew introduced him to Peter, and so we now have Andrew and Peter, those guys were not apostolic. They were not apostles. They were fishermen. They were good fishermen, but they were fishermen. He told them, he said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I love that. I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Listen, some people have a preconceived idea of what being a Christian is about before they ever become a Christian. Hey, look here. I mean, we got to know that when people become, when I lead someone to the Lord, my natural, normal prayer is this: Lord, please let them get grounded before somebody comes along and wants to make a Christian out of them. Christianity is not what the church and what the world thinks it is. Christianity is followers of Christ. Christianity is doing what Jesus did. Christianity is sitting and drinking water with an adulteress. Christianity is touching the leper. Christianity is praying and believing God, and everything you ask in His name without any doubt, you know that you're going to get it. I'm telling you, I'm so tired of people trying to be uppity and make out like they're something they're not. Let me tell you, I could put on a pair of buckle jeans, but I'm still Charles Petty. It doesn't matter. We got to realize that God is the one that's going to move on us. God is the one that's going to change us. If you could change somebody, then I challenge you to change yourself. Amen. Acceptance, acceptance, acceptance. I don't believe that God will send anyone to this body of Christ or that body of Christ or any body of Christ that's not willing to accept them. God's not going to send you into a place that doesn't want you and won't accept you. If we're going to minister the love of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to love like Jesus loved. God will send them to the place that will accept them. I want you to watch this, church. Every patriarch, every one of them in this Bible, you look at them. I mean, every one of them. Every one of them have broken life experiences. Every one of them have failures, all the way from Genesis to the Revelation. They have failures. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lied and lied on their wives. Sarah, she didn't believe God, and she laughed in his face. Joseph was self-centered, and his brothers wanted to kill him. Moses was a murderer. Aaron built a golden calf. Miriam rebelled against her brother Moses. Rahab was a harlot. David was an adulterer. Gideon was a coward. Samson was a womanizer. Peter had an anger issue. Thomas was known as a doubter. James and John had pride issues. Paul's own confession was that he was chief among sinners. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And time would not permit me to go through every one of these. But one thing I can tell you, every one of those people I called out are walking the streets of gold as we speak. I'm telling you, God will use misfits. God will use, and we're living in an era and in a time that we must accept the misfit. We must accept people with broken life experiences. We've got to be able to, where we can bring them in and let God change them. Yeah. You know, the works of Paul, the writings of Paul have probably won more people to the love of Jesus Christ Amen. Than anyone else. And you know what he said? He said, of sinners, I'm the chief. Of sin, you'll be surprised who God will use in your life. Yeah. You know what? I've been to many. Many hospital room and many homes and prayed for those that were on their deathbed and were passing and going into that next world. And I'd come, and when I walk in, there's some things that I've noticed over the years. After 46 years of ministry, you kind of notice some things. And one thing that I've never noticed, anyone ever has asked me, when I come and said, I come to pray for you, they were ready for prayer. They didn't say, wait a minute, tell me what kind of sin you've committed in your life. They didn't care. They just wanted prayer. They just wanted prayer. And I'll tell you something else too. I've never had one say, hey, look, I'm on my deathbed. Would you pray that I get a new car before I go? No. Those things are unimportant. We reach a time in life that we realize that things are changing, and we've got to accept them the way they are, but we got to prepare for the life to come, not for this life. We got to store up riches in heaven. We got to quit trying to store up riches here. Let me tell you, position, as important as you think you are, as influential as you think you are, you really are not. You just think you are. Your influence, according to the Word of God, is in Christ Jesus. Because it's a perpetual thing. It's the thing that's going to take you out of this world. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather know Jesus at the time that I leave this world than the richest man in town. Amen. I'd rather just know Jesus. I'd rather have his blessing than the blessing of the most influential person in town. What I'm trying to tell you is we got to reach that place that we got to accept people. But those things that we do in this world is not the things that's going to help us preparing for the next world. What are we doing? How are we storing up riches in heaven? How, that's what's going to be important to us. I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to find people that have committed every imaginable sin. But some church, somewhere, offered them the right hand of fellowship, and they accepted them, and God moved them from there. And I believe that's what God is calling this church to do. And every church, when I say this church, I'm talking about the church as a whole. Now, the last thing I'm going to touch on in just a minute is about forgiveness. We've done love. We've done accept. Now, forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiveness. The Bible is very plain. If you want to be forgiven, you got to forgive. I mean, that's just it. Matthew 6:9, Jesus' teaching on prayer said, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, our trespasses. According to what version? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Read it. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. If you want to be forgiven, you just got to forgive. You must forgive. You've got to forgive. He goes on to say in verse 14 that if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father, your Heavenly Father, will forgive you. So how is the Heavenly Father going to forgive us the same way we forgive? As. We've been taught that all we have to do is just ask God to forgive us. And we're on our way to heaven. No, we got to. Your journey to heaven doesn't start there. Your journey to heaven starts with forgiveness, but it starts with forgiving other people. Listen. You got to begin to forgive other people because God's going to forgive you the same way you forgive other people. If you say you forgive somebody and every time you get away from them, you think about it, or when you get around them, you get frustrated with them because you think of something, then you really haven't forgiven them. And that's the same way God's going to do you. I don't know. I guess the best thing for me to do is just tell you, God's going to forgive you the same way you forgive everyone else. That's what the Word says. Just go to the Word and research it out. Go to your Bible and find out what it really says. You know, and in closing, can I tell you the hardest person for me to forgive is me? It's hard for me to forgive me. Listen to me. How many of you ever done something and you hated it so badly and you just couldn't get over it and you said, dear God, why did I do such a stupid thing? Why did God? I just can't forgive myself. It's okay. You don't have to. That's God's job. He said, I'm going to forgive you. You just forgive everybody else. I'm going to forgive you. Forgive me. That's all I got. Oh, Father, I mean, do I have to do some sort? You've asked. I'm going to forgive you. So if you want to live in torment, well, then don't forgive yourself. But if you want to be peaceful and happy, forgive yourself and go on and live your life. Live your life the way God had called you to do it. You need to realize that you can't do God's job. And his job is to forgive you. All you have to do is forgive others, and God will forgive you the same way. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness are the things that you and I need to grasp the love of God and receive his provision. And would you stand up with me? You know, as I was saying in closing, we'll talk about just loving and accepting and forgiving. Loving, accepting, and forgiving. I want you to love yourself. Now, I know this is going to sound kind of silly to you at first, but you're going to have to look in the mirror and say, you know, I love you. I know it sounds silly, You need to hear yourself say that. I know Susan loves me, but I like to hear her say that. And she does often. I appreciate it. I just love to hear her say that. And she knows I love her, but she loves to hear. She's even, I love to hear you say that. So you need to hear yourself. Come on, I know. It's okay. It's okay. You know, you can talk to yourself. You can. It's quite all right. Just don't, you know, ask yourself any questions and give the answer. I forgive you. I forgive you. I just want you. And that's where it's going to start. And once you start forgiving yourself and you really accept that, then you start forgiving others. Listen, some of us harbor so many things in our lives that it's hard for us to forgive others. But if you will start with yourself, because I'm going to tell you, people may love me, but they don't love me as much as I love me. And people love you, but they don't love you as much as you love you. That's the reason you're self-centered. And the reason I'm self-centered. Are you with me? We're talking about just being able, you look at that, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I forgive you. The Lord impressed upon my heart years ago, and I'm not going to get into any personal stuff here, but there was a person in my life that I really had, I hope that I could say I've never hated, but it was close. The Lord said, you're going to have to go, and you're going to have to ask them to forgive you. I said, I've done nothing to them. They don't need to forgive me. I need to forgive them. He said, no, you're going to have to ask them to forgive you, because somewhere along the line you planted, you sowed, and it grew into that. And when you do, you can begin to forget it. But until you ask for forgiveness and until you forgive, you're not going to forget it. There's every one of us have had people in our lives that things have happened. It's been very difficult for us to forgive. But we're going to have to start with ourselves, and then we'll have to move to them. You're going to have to tell yourself, I forgive you. Then you're going to have to, you don't have to, but I would suggest you go to that person and say, you know what? You probably won't accept this, but I just want you to know I forgive you. And then duck. No. You just go and tell, say, I forgive you. I want to live in peace. And the only way that you're going to have peace is to live in unforgiveness. Live in unforgiveness. I don't like what's happened, but I accept it. I don't like it, but I accept it. And I'm asking you to do the same. Every head bowed and every eye closed with me for just a moment. Nobody looking around. I just got to do this. I just got to be old-fashioned and say, if any of you were out there this morning that would say to me, Pastor, I'm harboring some unforgiveness. I want you to just lift up your hand and put it right back down. I promise you, I'm not going to. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You and all over this building. Father, we're harboring unforgiveness. You saw those hands go up, Lord God. And I'm going to ask everybody in the building, where those that raise their hand won't feel uncomfortable. I want everyone in the building to say, I forgive myself. I forgive myself. I forgive myself. And I forgive everyone that has sinned against me. Go ahead. I forgive everyone that has sinned against me. Now watch this. You're on the road now. You've verbalized it. You've verbalized it. Now I want you to say, I'm going to let it go. I've got to let it go. I'm not hanging on to it. I've got to let it go. Father, I just pray for the spirit of obedience over this congregation right now. I pray, Father, that you will minister to every individual that raised their hand, that made that confession this morning. Father, give them peace. Release them. Turn them loose, oh God, and let them go. Father, I know that there's circumstances and situation that's brought on feelings and hard feelings. And Father, we've got to deal with those, and we ask for you to give us the wisdom to do that, Father. And we give you the praise for it.